Gamerheads Podcast is part of the Little Fellow Media Podcast Network, sponsored by podcast host Budsprout, the easiest podcasting software for hosting, promoting, and tracking your podcast. And welcome to another episode of Gamerheads Reviews. And today I'm actually joined by the whole cast, Mike, Blue, and Christian.
It's a review party.
It is. Let's Woo! Play the review music. Get this party started. So today, we're reviewing. I'm going to let you, Mike, tell the name of it because I screw this up all the time.
I'll probably screw it up too.
Okay.
The name of the game is Aglios.
Aglios?
Oh my goodness. No. Agalus.
Agalus.
The emphasis is on the second syllable.
Agalus.
Gelos.
Agalus. Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're reviewing today.
Yeah. See, I had that stuck in my head now. Anyway, it's a action platformer 2D retro throwback type game available for the Switch, PlayStation 4. I think it's also on the Xbox and PC.
I believe so. I think you can play it wherever you want to.
Right. Developed by, or published by P-Cube, developed by Storyboard Games. And it is a throwback. It made me feel like this was a Monster Boy type game. Like a Sega Master System or even a TurboGrafx-16 style game. Legend of Zelda 2, Adventure of Link type game. You play the role of a hero that's been summoned to save the world from the evil darkness that threatens the world and stuff. So
the world and stuff.
The world and stuff. But your typical 80s style adventure medieval type where you've got the sword, you've got armor, you can swap those out, you can find new swords, new armors, and you traverse the world finding upgrades, battling enemies, fighting large bosses, earning upgrades to get back into other areas in order to find new areas. So it's a lot of Metroidvania elements, a lot of pinpoint perfect pixel-perfect jumps and attacks. It will put your 2D platforming skills to the test.
Mm. Sounds like that would require good controls, Mike.
It sounds like it. I hear some grumbling. It can get pretty tough. It can get extremely tough. I will say that. And I don't know if that was the original idea was to make it as much of a throwback as possible to old games, like even some of those games that are unfair in terms of their difficulty. I'm looking at you, Ninja Turtles 1.
Yeah.
And you're going to die in this game a lot. One of the things that I found, in addition to the controls being a little bit wonky, was that when you're fighting against a boss, unless you have the specific sword and the specific armor found in another part of the map, you are not going to last 2 minutes. And it doesn't tell you, hey, you need to go here and you need to get this. In order to beat this boss, you just got to figure that out on your own.
Hmm.
You do get some guidance. There's a fortune teller that you can talk to that gives you a push in the right direction on where to go. But in terms of some of the items you need in order to get past a dungeon boss, it kind of leaves you up to your own skills or lack thereof.
I see. And so you, Blue and Mike, you both played this game on the PlayStation 4, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Blue, anything to add to the intro of the game before we get into the things that you liked about the game and things you didn't like about the game? Anything else you wanted to add to Mike's description of the game?
Well, the goal of the game, in order to save the world, which actually it takes place in the kingdom of Lumen, is that the bad guy has come and stolen the four elements, earth, water, fire, and air. He has stolen those, and so he has used them to gain the power of darkness. So you are tasked with going into the temples of those four elements, and in this game, the temples serve as dungeons. So you must also acquire earth, water, fire, and air, and you will use the power, the elements to gain the power of light. See, because it matches the kingdom of name Lumen. We got a theme going on here. So, yeah, that's basically what it is. It's a very familiar story. It's not something you haven't seen and done a gazillion times before. And there's really not much story to the game at all. It's typical hero stuff.
Yeah.
So
this kind of sounds like a Mega Man-esque kind of game, right? Because you can go. Can you pick any temple you want to go to begin with?
No.
It's these aren't levels. It's one big map that you go like a Metroid type.
Yeah, and you acquire new abilities kind of at regular intervals, and then you need those abilities to reach the new temples. Because like Mike was said, the seer in the castle, she won't point you to the armor, but she will point you to the abilities because you have to have them.
I see. Ah, okay. All right, well, let's start with the tip and the top then. What are some of the things that you both liked about this game?
So I liked, you know, one of the things I liked the music. I thought the music was very old school. It was an enjoyable soundtrack to listen to as I was going along. One of the gripes I have about games now is that there's so many different tracks that they all kind of blend together. And I have difficulty finding one that I can really really enjoy and listen to over and over again. That's one of the things as an older gamer, what I liked about some of my older games is they had specific level songs. For example, like Mega Man 2, one of my favorite soundtracks, or DuckTales, those had very recognizable because you heard those over and over again as you tried to get through that level. So they did that with this game, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the variety. I mean, the variety is pretty much what you'd see in any old school game like this. You've got your water level, you've got your volcano level. But that was fun to see that kind of difference in the in environments. I liked the enemy design. I liked the animation. It was all very smooth. The art style was fun. So the game presented itself pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will agree with that. It's a beautiful yeah. game.
Yeah.
It is like Mike already said. It's very very Wonder Boy. In the press release for the game, they say how they created it as an homage to the classic Japanese adventure games of the 16-bit era. And so you could see where the inspirations are extremely obvious. Like even everybody that I've talked to about this game, they see a picture and they go, "Oh, is that Monster Boy?"
Wow.
So I mean, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for something original, something that's going to wow you, something that you've never seen before? Or are you looking for something cute and comfortable and familiar? It just depends.
But we can go into this with the flip and the flop. But I mean, some of the things that I know you both have said, do you think that the game stayed too true to like that old school kind of retro feel game to a fault, where even they didn't improve on some of the things that as game design has grown over the last 20 or 30 years, that they didn't incorporate some of the things that we should have learned from game design and then kept it retro feel to the point where it almost made it too difficult.
This is a difficult question to answer.
Yeah.
I would say it is not too difficult.
Okay.
But I would say the difficulty that is there is not the right kind of difficulty.
That is a perfect way to put it. It's not like, so when I think of a game that like Shovel Knight, that's a game that can be difficult, yeah. but it's difficult, but you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
This one is more along the lines of, hey, if you're not perfect, you're dead.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm thinking back to the boss of the air temple. Yes, the air temple. And it's just like, are you kidding me? This screen is, especially at their third stage, the screen is filled with projectiles. Just like absolutely filled. And it's you will take hits. There's no way to get through it with skill. You have to tank your way through it.
Yep.
And hopefully you did well enough during the first two phases of the boss attack that you still have enough health left to tank your way through it.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that's not that interesting of a boss fight. You know what I mean? I mean, you can play a Cuphead and you can learn it and you can practice and you can do those Cuphead runs with no damage. And that's so impressive when those people can do that. That's not an option. That's not even close to, like, in the realm of possibility of being an option.
Yeah. Let's go into the things that you didn't like, the flip and the flop then. What are some of the things that, I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but what are some of the things that just kind of grind your gears?
Go ahead, Mike. Sure, they've heard from me already.
So I will kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, the difficulty of the game is really, really up there. And it's not even what we would say is a fair difficulty. It's like, hey, this is how it used to be. So let's give our players some real nostalgia by making this just like they remember. Sometimes we don't want to remember that kind of difficulty. But I don't want to knock the game too hard because, you know, there's people that have been able to play it and beat it with no problem. And it could be just that I'm just not as good as a gamer as I think I am. The other thing is that the controls, they have to be absolutely perfect. Like, you cannot do well if you're not a god with your controller. And even then, sometimes you'll do things that you didn't intend to do, which will mess you up. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is the upward slash that helps you get to other platforms. There's an area, I don't know, Blue, if you had trouble with this too. There's an area where you get, I think it's where you get the woodpecker ability. Before you get into that section, there's an area that has a bunch of really tall, thin platforms, like mountainous platforms, and lava at the bottom.
Oh, you know, if you want to be totally honest, I didn't even bother with the woodpecker one. I tried two of the first puzzles, and I went, screw this. I don't need it.
You don't have to beat all the puzzles then in this game?
You don't have to get all the upgrades. Oh, I mean, you kind of do have to get the upgrades. I mean, unless you're amazing, unless you're like Christian levels of gamer, then you're okay, but... But some of the stuff is really just too punishing. Like, I would lose. So I'm in this area where there's an entrance to a cave, and there's flying enemies that fly at angles that make it almost impossible for you to defend. So you have to do the upslash. But when you do the upslash, you jump off of the platform you're on and you fall into the lava. At the same time, there's a giant ghost or a giant monster that's chasing after you on this screen. So you need to avoid them and you need to avoid that enemy. In the meantime, you're jumping, attacking, falling into lava, trying again. I lost half my health before in one screen before I got into the next.
But you didn't get the monster halfway down of health and then get knocked back into the previous screen and have to start over?
That was
going to
be my next thing. Oh my gosh, that was one thing that was so aggravating. So the game plays out, you know, in individual screens, like each part of the map is its own room almost. And if you get hit, it has that wonderful knockback that old school games are known for. And if you are near the entrance or exit to that screen and you get knocked back, and you get knockbacked hard enough that it throws you back into the previous screen, guess what? All of the monsters reset as well as their health.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
See, and I think that's a design flaw. That's that design flaw of a game from games in the past, right?
No, I won't consider that a design flaw here.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why. Because the thing about if you want to include things like knockback and things like if you leave the screen and come back, the enemies regenerate as if you were never there. You have to still at some point give your players the tools to succeed. And so the controls that they have, which I'll go through it briefly in case somebody didn't hear it on the podcast, but they work against you the entire time you're playing. So this upward slash that Mike's talking about, it that basically serves as a double jump. So it requires 3 or 4 button inputs. So if you want to do a classic double jump from any other video game, you just hit jump and then you hit jump again. It's simple, it's easy, and you don't have to think about it. You can just play. But for this one, you have to hit jump, and then with the right timing, then you hit the attack button, and then you also have to simultaneously hit up, and then optionally you hit up left or up right, depending on which direction you need to go. So, I mean, it's so complicated for one move. It's ridiculous, and it's also unpredictable. Like Mike was saying, sometimes you'll do it when you don't mean to, because the inputs on the D-pad are just, like, if it's just even a tiny bit up, then you'll do the upward slash when you didn't mean to and probably fall off the platform you were on. So if you design a game where you fill the screen with enemies and projectiles to the point where it's impossible to dodge, and then you also have knockback, and then you give your players unpredictable controls, that particular combination of things makes for a bad experience, in my opinion. Yeah. If you can have fill the screen with projectiles and have knockback, but if your controls are precise and they allow your player to have a fighting chance, then this would be a completely different game. We'd have a completely different conversation right now.
Yeah. Right. There's also, in terms of, again, going back to that perfect, I mean, you have to be absolutely perfect.
And you
there's
can't.
One, right. And there's one section where there's these spikes. They look like, I don't know, they're like eight, they look like jacks, you know, the old game jacks, you know, they look like those kind of spikes in water. And you have to use your bubble ability to navigate through this very, very small area, and if you get hit by one of those spikes, you lose health and your bubble pops, and you drop down, have to go back to the beginning and do it all over again. Oof. And to that point, you only get one slot to refill your health.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
And to hold a potion that can restore your health.
You know that what you just described there. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of Turtles. It reminds me of the first Turtles game. There was underwater places where all those spikes.
And yeah, the seaweed, hard. The electric seaweed.
Yeah,
or the
electric
something.
Seaweed. Yeah, that's what it was. Electric seaweed. That was really hard, and I did not like that.
It was exactly like that, but think of it this way: in the Turtles one, it's the exact same thing, but if you get hit by one seaweed, you fall down and have to start over all again. Just one hit, and you lose health, and you don't. And the only way to get it back is if you have a potion, or if you go back to the beginning of the dungeon, go back to the village, refill your health, and then have to start the dungeon all over again.
Oh my gosh.
And actually, to that point, there's this huge hole in the game, because as Mike said, you can hold one potion, or you can hold and one herb, and the potion will restore a large amount of health, and then the herb restores a small amount. So you have those two things. So if you're in a dungeon and you die and you respawn, it respawns you without those.
Oh my God.
So if you thought it was hard the first time, it's even harder now.
Wow.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you've made it through the dungeon and you fight the boss and you die, then it doesn't make any sense to restart Or, I mean, to continue. It doesn't make any sense to continue because you'll lose your potion and your herb. And like Mike said, you'll have to trek all the way back to the village and rebuy them. So what I started doing is I just quit and restart the game.
Oh, my God.
I end up in the exact same spot, and then I still have my potion and my herb.
Yep, I did the exact same thing.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it takes, you know, a few seconds more to quit the game and restart, but it's like, why did you do that?
Yeah, that's really annoying. Are there save spots in this game? Are there in the dungeons? Are there places where you can save or no?
No. There's only like one.
There's one at the beginning.
Oh my God.
And then usually what they do is when you complete the dungeon and you get to the boss, they will give you a shortcut in the temple so that you don't have to go through the whole thing. You can take the shortcut and get to the boss.
Oh my gosh. All right, so before we get into the final grade, then who is this game for? Like, it's like obviously you both like
this.
Both of you are retro gamers. I mean, you guys like retro games. You guys grew up in the same era that I did. You both like those kind of games, but you both didn't. I mean, from what I'm hearing, you both weren't huge fans of this game. So
if I'm being 100% honest, I hated this game. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I really hated it. And it was 100% because of the controls.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. This game is not an entry level game by any means. This game should only be for those of you who grew up on it and are really, really good and want to relive some of those punishing 2D platformers. So I'm not as straightforward as Blue. I'll use that word, straightforward.
I mean, being honest.
No, that's the whole point of these reviews. I was not a huge fan of the game, but the parts that worked well. Mm. But unfortunately, the parts that didn't work, I'm not going to say they ruined the game, but they really took it down a notch.
Yeah. I had said this before, and I'll say it again. I do want to see Christian play this game. I mean,
I don't wish that on Christian.
I want to see him put his skills to the test.
Yeah, I do.
You say this like I'm some inhuman god at video games, Roger, and I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
though he would probably play it on PC, and I believe that's the best place to play it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I should specify that the specific problems with the controls that I'm talking about, I believe, are only on the PS4 version. The buttons are mapped differently in the PS4 version than like if you played it on Switch or Xbox. And for the record, I did email Storyboard Games and I asked them why this was the case.
And did they get back to you?
No, they never did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I was trying to be as fair as I could.
Yeah. 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 Well, I know Christian, I think you are a god in video games, but I would like to see you play this game. all right, so I know Blue, you reviewed it for the Well-Read Mage, right? Is that right?
Yes, my review is up on the Well-Read Mage, and you can look that up if you are interested. The grade I gave it was 4 out of 10.
Okay, Mike, what is your final grade on this?
I'm going to give it a solid C.
Okay,
generous.
Whereas most of it works. But the key elements are very frustrating. So that's what I'm going to go. That's how I felt. I felt it was a good C.
Well, yeah, because here's kind of my end thoughts on it is platformers, that genre is bursting at the seams with choices, right? And if you're looking for Metroidvanias or neo-retro styled stuff, I mean, you are spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
And so Agelos is a roughly a 10-hour game that does very little, anything is original. There's nothing in here that will make you go, oh, that's so cool. I've never seen that before.
Right.
There's not a single thing here that does that. And so if you're going to spend $15, there are so many other choices that are better. Axiom Verge or Dead Cells, Iconoclast, Hollow Knight. All of those are so much above Agelos in terms of game design and story, and they are such a better value. So I really can't recommend a Gelos to anybody.
Yeah. Or you could save your money and buy an Amiibo for $13.
You could do that. Or Iconoclast. That's another one.
Yeah,
that's
Iconoclast. Another great that's one. A good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. You know, that's like, it's a really good point, Blue, because you're right. The genre, there's tons of games in the genre. And it's probably hard to break into that mm-hmm. genre.
You have to really do something special. And yeah. when I think about Iconoclast, which I played through recently, there were multiple times where I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Or, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
You know, that was stuff that I'd never heard and never seen before. And Gelos has none of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, so you can check out both of those reviews, one on the Well-Read Mage and then the other one here on GamerHeadsPodcast.com. And thank you, Mike and Blue and Christian, for joining me today.
No problem. Talking
You're welcome. Again. Sorry, P-Cube.
And listeners, you can also get new episodes of the Gamerheads Podcast right here on our website at GamerHeadsPodcast.com or anywhere that you get your podcasts. We release new episodes every Sunday, so check that out. Thanks. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.